Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon, and hope you'll be able to stick with us. And just a reminder, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can check us out on Facebook as well at Live with Pastor Al. And let's see, I mentioned a couple of things here before we get started, but again, reminder that if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this afternoon with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And let's go ahead and open our program here today with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just pray that you would bless the program, that you would use it, Lord, for your glory. And we just thank you again for the opportunity. Help us be a blessing and point people to Christ today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, again, I said it's good to be with you. And just a reminder, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And you come out and visit us. I wanted to mention we have our Friday night Bible study tonight, 7 o'clock till 9. It's an informal Bible study. We'd certainly invite you to visit if you want to learn more about the Bible. That's what we do, kind of the same thing that we do on the air with our radio programs here on Friday afternoon and Sunday night. We're on, of course, the same station from 11 o'clock until midnight, and that's at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express in Richfield, Ohio, at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. That's midway between Akron and Cleveland, and it's right where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, crosses Interstate 77. We're right there by that junction, and so very easy to get to. We'd love to see you. And then also wanted to mention that this coming Sunday is our church anniversary for the Bible Baptist Church. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and we are going to be there with our anniversary service on this coming Sunday. Our morning service is more or less the regular schedule. We have special music plan for our morning service at 10 o'clock, or I'm sorry, at 11 o'clock with Eric Howitt. And Eric Howitt is a very talented, godly gospel soloist, and he'll be singing for us during our morning service. And then after the morning service at 1 o'clock, and I'm not asking you to miss your own church services, but at 1 o'clock we have a potluck dinner, and we'd love to have you visit if you get the chance. And even if that's too soon for you, at 2 o'clock we have Eric Howitt will be singing, and we'll have a free gospel concert at 2 o'clock. And again, if you'd like to come out, we'd love to have you. If you can just make it out for the concert, we'd love to have you for that. It's always enjoyable. It's always a blessing to hear Eric Howitt, godly man, loves the Lord, and he glorifies Christ in all that he does with his music. So that's this coming Sunday morning service at 11 o'clock potluck dinner at 1 o'clock, and then gospel concert at 2 o'clock. And that's this Sunday at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, meeting at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. That's Northern Summit County, right where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 77 cross. Love to see you there if you can come out maybe during the afternoon. And so also, just as I mentioned, since we're there all day, we will not be having our usual 6 o'clock in the evening service. We'll be all day there with the services and the dinner and the concert and all those things. And then, of course, we have fellowship after the concert. So love to meet our listeners. If you get a chance to come out, we'd love to have you. All right, and let's see. We're going to get into a few things here this afternoon. Just a reminder, tomorrow is Constitution Day, September 17th. And, you know, you think about it, the Constitution of our country. It's unique among man-made documents. It's certainly not on par with the Bible by any means, but at the same time, it's an absolutely unique document. And this is in 1787, I believe it was, is when they signed the Constitution. I believe it was September 17th. And I was just looking at something here. It says it's September 17th in one spot and September 16th on another spot on the calendar. So, regardless of that, it was in 1787, and the most influential document other than the Declaration of Independence that we have is United States Constitution, and it's that document and the amendments to it that give me the opportunity to be on the air right now doing what I'm doing. And it gives us the freedom of religion there in that First Amendment. And we may talk on that a little bit, but we do have a caller calling in already. And again, like I said, it's live program. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Nancy calling in from Euclid this afternoon. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. And I'm greatly looking forward to attending your program on Sunday with Eric Hallett, because I've heard him the last few years that you've had him. And I hope we hope to see you at our missions program Saturday evening.
I'm planning on being there. So looking forward to that.
Now, today I wanted to mention, I'm very concerned about Obama wanting to, along with the United Nations, overtaking the internet, which can profoundly affect our First and Second the amendments to the Bill of Rights. And I am immediately reminded of a phrase that Pastor Ernie Sanders uses quite often. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. I know that's not a Bible verse for my understanding, but I know that Thomas Jefferson used it as his personal seal. Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. And I know the Bible says we are to obey the government, except when it's in direct contradiction to what the Bible says. And I think that this is a real, totally against our First and Second Amendment. I just hope that I called Senator Rob Portman, and I don't know who else to call, but I think that he's trying to pull this through in the next couple of weeks. I think this is when the proposed bill is going to come to vote. I just hope and pray that Congress, if enough of us contact our congressmen, that we will be able to block it. From my understanding, Congress can block it, but it just seems like Obama has pulled so many things off just through executive order, with his pen and his phone. So I would just like your take on this. Thank you very much.
And this is something that is concerning, because basically the internet, and we broadcast on the internet in our Periscope, and I was a little slow in getting that started here today, but trying to get that going. And of course, our websites, Facebook, all these things we use is on the internet. And the internet more or less has been controlled by, America, and it's been pretty free. It's genuinely allowed for a lot of free speech and pretty much self-policing, because, people who have been on various social media know that a lot of them have certain procedures in place where certain things that really violate the standards of that site can be cleaned up, taken away, eliminated, things like that. But it's been pretty free, largely without government interference. But there is this attempt, I think they're talking about in October, basically the UN taking over the internet. And I know that, and full disclosure here, Senator Ted Cruz, whom was the guy that I was hoping would be the nominee for president right now, rather than Donald Trump, and I was at the Republican convention the night that he kind of self-destructed politically when he gave his speech where he told people to vote their conscience rather than asking people to join him in voting for Donald Trump, something that he, as a professing Christian, had pledged to do, just like the governor of Ohio, John Kasich, had pledged to support whoever the Republican nominee is. And of course, I was in agreement with that pledge, and that's why I support Donald Trump today. But for all my problems with Ted Cruz and his speech at the convention and my disappointment in his failure to uphold his word to his pledge to support the Republican nominee, or at least his making that definite, he has in the Senate been moving, trying to stop this. And I believe, like you said, Senator Rob Portman, whom, let me remind people, is running for re-election right now, Senator Rob Portman, he also is, I believe, trying to stop this UN takeover. The danger of the UN takeover is the majority of the countries that make up the UN are not countries that value free speech to the extent that the United States of America does. You have a lot of despotic countries. You have a lot of Islamic countries. You have a lot of countries there that do not value free speech. And, you know, the United States is unique pretty much, you know, when you think about some of these things. And let me tie in what we were talking about Constitution Day here, also with what we're talking about with this UN takeover. The First Amendment to the United States Constitution, you know, a lot of people, you know, they look at that and they think it's a series of freedoms that's given there, and it is to a degree, but let me just read it. It's only one sentence. Most people don't realize that. They think it's a series of sentences, but let me read it and make a couple of comments and relate this to the UN attempt to take over the internet. Constitution of the United States of America, Amendment 1 says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And when you look at this, and I'm going to tie this in with the internet takeover by the UN, the First Amendment is written primarily to preserve our freedom of religion. And if you look at this carefully, and I was telling somebody just before the program started, actually I was telling Pastor Lutz, who was just on here with his program just a few minutes ago, the First Amendment is one sentence, and the freedom of speech, freedom of the press, the right of the people to peaceably assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances, all of that is there to support the freedom of religion. And if you're a person that reads the King James Bible and understands the reason why we use the King James Bible rather than the modern versions, one of the reasons is the King James Bible maintains the long sentence structures that the modern versions break up into shorter sentences. And they do that to the detriment of the Word of God. And this is one long sentence. So somebody who's used to reading longer sentences, like Bible-believing Christians who read the first of the King James Bible, this is no problem, because when you see the series of commas and semicolons and things like that, you realize that if you do not have the freedom of religion, you do not have freedom of speech, because if you're going to say something contrary to what the government says you should believe, it's illegal. And you don't have the right to print things contrary to what the government believes. And so you don't have freedom of the press. You don't have the right, as in some of our colonies, such as Massachusetts, imprisoned and banished people and beat people and things for assembling in unlawful assemblies, because people who weren't Congregationalists, which was the colony's official religion, they would gather in Baptist meetings, and then the sheriff and the police would come in. Well, the police at that time, the sheriff basically, would come in and break up the meeting and they would haul people off to jail. They would beat them right there in Boston Square, or Boston Commons, whatever that center of Boston is. People were banished into the wilderness. That's how Rhode Island got its start, because they were assembling contrary to the will of the state or the colony's religion. And you don't have those things, and they could not petition the government for redress of grievances because not being a Congregationalist was against the law. And so that's what the First Amendment was for. Now let's relate that to the UN's attempt to take over the internet. There's a movement in the Islamic world to ban anybody that says anything derogatory about Islam or Muhammad or anything that they simply don't like. There's just so much in Islam that you can point out and just read what the Quran says and say what Muhammad did, excuse me, and it's absolutely true, yet they don't like it to be said, and so they say it's defamation, it's derogatory, it insults them, it offends them, and that speech should not be allowed. Well, the United States, because of our Constitution, we can do this on the internet. We can do this on the radio. But when the UN, if the UN is successful in taking it over, those Muslim nations and other despotic nations who don't like truth to be told will be able to restrict content on the internet, and they will be able to delete, censor, and even go after people who engage in content or, you know, conversation, talk, content, whatever on the internet that they don't agree with. And you can bet those Islamic nations will have a better control over what goes on the internet than what freedom-loving Americans have now. And they will use that to institute their desires. And, you know, people in the United States will go along with it in certain branches of the government. Loretta Lynch, the attorney general, just the other day was at a, I forget what Muslim group it was, the Islamic Society North America, I think maybe, it was Muslim Advocates. It was a Muslim Brotherhood front group, basically. Muslim Brotherhood wants Sharia law in the United States. They're a terrorist group. And Muslim Advocates is a front group for that. Now, see, that would be illegal if the UN controlled the internet to say that online. But she said that people who say stuff that insults Muslims should be prosecuted by the government. She's calling for the United States government to do that. So imagine what happens in a body such as the UN that does not have a constitution like the United States Constitution with its First Amendment to protect our freedom of religion and the resulting free speech, press, assembly, and petitioning that we have through that. So, yeah, we need to pray for that and pray for people like Senator Portman, Senator Cruz, and others in the Senate that are trying to oppose this. So hopefully that helps out a little bit there, Nancy, on your question.
Oh, thank you. You explained a lot more of it than I, you know, more different details than I was aware of. And yes, I'm aware that Loretta Lynch is a Muslim herself. And you probably know that he's the CIA director or department.
Yeah, Brennan, the director of the CIA, became a Muslim.
He's a Muslim. And yeah. Obama has 6 Muslim czars, you know, giving him advice.
Oh, yeah, that's just the tip of the iceberg. There are Islamic activists throughout the government. The Muslim Brotherhood, I've said this before on the radio, and I've said it at other settings, the Muslim Brotherhood has achieved, I believe, what the communists during the Cold War dreamt of, and that is getting themselves into the very Oval Office and into the White House itself, into the highest levels of our government, and they've achieved mm-hmm. that. They're on their way to trying to get Muslim Brotherhood agents, I think, onto the Supreme Court, which is going to happen, I think, if Hillary Clinton gets elected president. President Obama has just nominated a guy that has ties to the Muslim Advocates group, which is a Muslim Brotherhood front group. And he's the first Arab American Muslim to be nominated for a federal judge and position. And there's some in state courts around the country, and he's for the district that's in Washington, D.C., which would put him in a position to be considered as a Supreme Court nominee. And that's why this election for Christians matters. We still have some freedoms, but if we're not willing to fight for them, if we're not willing to stand up and make a difference, if we're not willing to get to the polls, and even if we can't vote without our noses being held for the candidate many of us are going to vote for, at least we can vote against certain things. And you know, either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump is going to be the president after this is going to be elected. It's not going to be a third party candidate. Third party candidates usually help elect the person furthest from them and hurt the person closest to them. And so I encourage Christians to get out there and do what they can. If you can't find the candidate that you like the best, find the candidate that'll help you defeat the one that you think is the greatest threat to our Christian liberties. Hey, Nancy, I want to thank you for calling. I hope we'll see you tomorrow night out there at Euclid. I got another caller I want to squeeze in here real quick, okay?
So thank you very thank you. Much, Pastor.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And we've got Fran waiting patiently. Fran, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I was interested about that Pope situation. It was recently in the news where that new Pope Francis is trying to get the Jews and the Arabs together in Jerusalem. Was that a pre-runner?
Yeah, I've not seen the latest on that, but he has been trying to do some bringing them together. Previous popes have too, and I think all of that heads towards the general thing of trying to bring all the religions together as well. But he has been active. Yeah, they want to establish a two-state solution there in Israel. They want to separate off large chunks of Israel for a Palestinian state. Most people, and supposedly that's going to bring peace. Most people don't realize that's already happened. Back when they originally set up the Jewish state under the Balfour Declaration, all of what is the nation of Jordan today was part of what was to be the Jewish homeland. And because of the actions of essentially Arab activists and fighting and stuff going on where they were attacking in throughout what was called Palestine at that time, the whole area of Israel and Jordan was called Palestine, they decided, the British who were in charge of it at the time said, well, in order to bring peace to the region, let's separate off about three quarters of the land set aside for a Jewish homeland and establish a state for the Arabs in Palestine that don't want to live in a Jewish homeland. And so they created the state of Jordan. Jordan was an artificial state, much like Iraq was. You know, Syria was based on, you know, a people and a region and things like that. So was Lebanon and Egypt and places like that. But Jordan was the land set aside internationally for a Jewish homeland. And they set it aside, land for peace. And they took that away from the Jewish homeland. It was supposed to bring peace. If they just had a state for the Arab Palestinians, we would have peace in the Middle East. Well, we can see how well that worked out. And so in the mid-20th century, when it was dumped into the UN's lap, then they decided, well, you know, if we just had a separate land for the Palestinian Arabs, a separate state for them, they were saying, well, we'll take off this area, the West Bank and the Gaza Strip and, you know, things like that. And if we just had land for peace, then there'd be peace in the Middle East. Well, that's about the time that the Jewish people realized that piece by piece, they weren't going to have anything left. And they declared themselves the State of Israel. And, so they've been in a battle ever since. Well,
now, is that going to lead to the Antichrist signatures of signing peace accord?
The peace accord is going to do something along those lines, and it may be an agreement that's already in place or comes into place soon because he makes his approval of it, or it may be something that we yet have to see. I think there's some tremendous things that are going to be happening in the Middle East. Psalm 83 depicts a war. Unfortunately, we're out of time right now, and we'll talk about more of these things as time goes on. Stay tuned, and thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.